This is VOA News via remote. I'm Joe Palca. The U.S. General Services Administration has finally determined President-elect Joe Biden is now eligible for certain resources and access as part of a 1964 law enacted to promote an orderly transition of executive power in the United States. And the state of Michigan played its part yesterday, as AP correspondent David Eggert explains.
Certification sets in motion the process by which all 16 electoral college votes in Michigan will go to Joe Biden. That slate of electors will meet at the state capitol on December 14th and officially cast their votes for Biden.
Between now and his January 20th inauguration, Mr. Biden will be building out his administration, putting in place staff both to begin carrying out his policy vision when his term begins and to be able to immediately handle the national security aspects of the job. The president-elect will receive information about classified threats to national security, covert military operations, and pending decisions the Trump administration may have on possible uses of military force. The president-elect is holding an event later on today to introduce the individuals he plans to nominate for top diplomatic and national security posts in his administration. The group includes Antony Blinken, one of Mr. Biden's closest foreign affairs advisors, as the choice for Secretary of State. The former vice president said he intends to nominate former Secretary of State John Kerry to a new position as special presidential envoy for climate while holding a seat on the National Security Council. Does the president-elect expect smooth sailing when it comes to approval in the Republican-controlled Senate?
Are you kidding me?
Why did you go with national security first?
Because it's national security.
And according to news reports, 74-year-old Janet Yellen, the former chair of the Federal Reserve, will be nominated as Secretary of Treasury. This is VOA News. Guns in the Capitol building? Well, don't feel bad if you didn't know that, or maybe you wish you didn't know it now.
There are new questions about lawmakers bringing guns into the U.S. Capitol. Now that an incoming congresswoman from Colorado has inquired about the rules on packing heat. 33-year-old Republican Congresswoman-elect Lauren Boebert is a gun rights activist and walks around with a Glock strapped to her hip. She's asked Capitol Police about carrying her weapon on Capitol grounds, which is allowed under a 1967 regulation. Guns are not allowed in the House or Senate chambers, and the public can't bring weapons in. There are concerns, though, raised by California Democratic Congressman Jared Huffman, who says Congress members and their staffs carry firearms around all the time and are not checked for weapons when they enter the House chamber. He says he tried to fight it in the past, but faced stiff opposition. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
International rights groups are urging Ethiopian forces to prioritize the safety of civilians in the Tigray region as a government-set deadline for regional forces to surrender looms. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has given the Tigray People's Liberation Front until Wednesday to surrender or face a military assault. Communications blackouts have made verifying information during 3 weeks of fighting difficult. A U.S.-based Iranian-German dissident captured by Iran 4 months ago as he traveled in the Gulf says Iranian authorities have treated him harshly. Now, that according to his daughter, denying him access to a family-chosen lawyer and televising new images of him making an apparent forced confession. In a Monday interview with VOA Persian from Los Angeles, where her family lives, the daughter of dissident Jamshid Sharmad said an Iranian lawyer hired by her family in early October has been barred by Iran's judiciary from meeting her father or accessing his files since then. Iran typically allows only lawyers on government-approved lists to work on cases involving alleged national security offenses at the investigative stage. Russia's Sputnik V COVID-19 vaccine will cost less than $20 per person on international markets, and Moscow aims to produce more than a billion doses at home and abroad next year. That according to its backers and developers yesterday. The pricing announcement comes as Russia looks to scale up distribution and production. The international market price we unveiled is cheaper than some of the Western rivals. Via remote, I'm Joe Palca, and this is VOA News.